What time is it?
It's time for Ricketts Bursey.
Hey, this is Wicked Spursy, Mike, Steve, and Dave. Boys, good to see you. Rough weekend. Let's talk about good things first, and then we'll talk about Spurs. So, Mike, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I had a pretty good weekend, man. Went down to the NEFC, which is New England Football Club tournament. It's a early season spring tournament. Well, very early season for New England. Especially for us up here in very northern New England, in Vermont. We're the most northern team that played in the competition. It was an outdoor competition. So we only had one day of outdoor practice with our kids. It's fine, you know. It's not about going out there and winning. It's about getting some touches in outdoors, getting out on the big field, because we've been inside playing futsal. Most of our team has been inside playing futsal for the entire winter. Unlike last year, it was very successful. Last year, we went 0-3, and it wasn't great. It wasn't great. This year, we came in. We have a couple of new kids in the club. The very first game we came out, we played a team from Medford, which is right outside of Boston. And we fucking thumped them. I mean, thumped them. We were pressing high. We were playing a high defensive line. It was a lot like Ange Ball. Ball was moving quickly. It was one touch pass, one touch shot, you know, for a lot of first time shots, shooting from distance. It was just a wonderful, wonderful game to watch. And I thought, oh shit, we're going to just drub the competition. Second game didn't go the same way. Second game, we played a nationally ranked team. So it was a little tough. We lost 3-1. But the first game, it was really funny because like our tactics were very kind of Ange Ball-ish. And it was funny because at one point, one of the kids on the other team yelled at another kid, and the kid yells back at him, and he goes, "I can't do anything about it. They won't stop pressing. They're pressing no matter what." So it was kind of funny, but Lucas scored a couple of goals in that game. He scored in every game. You know, he ended up with 4 goals, a couple assists. It was just a really nice weekend for him, but and for his confidence, catching up from last year, but like, this entire club of kids needed the confidence boost, and they really, really got it. Like, they were playing really well. The last game, we ended up drawing. But you know, I mean, if we had won, we would have been in the final, but we didn't win. But these kids worked hard. They played hard. First time outside, like, it was good. Second game was more of them just being gassed out. You know, they had nothing left in the tank. Fun time though. Like, we as parents got out and got to have some drinks and do some adult stuff while the kids, you know, ran around the hotel, getting chased by the security guard.
Adult stuff. You care to expound on that? Or are you going to just
adult stuff? Drinking. Yeah. Drinking.
Okay. All right. Good. Just wanted to check. Not that kind of trip.
No, XXX stuff. No.
All right. Good. Good. Glad to hear that.
The kids
glad
were just another weekend.
But hey, Mike, as we know, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It matters how you play the game, right? So the fact that they were out there doing well outside,
dude, having fun, getting better. My God, their passing.
This is what it's about.
Their passing was so beautiful all weekend. So
very nice.
I mean, I look forward to it. I also got to go to a couple of different breweries, and I got my corned beef yesterday. So
okay, let's. I want to ask how Steve's doing. Let's come back to corned beef. I got a question on that. Is that cool?
Oh, 100%.
Awesome. Steve, big news. New season kicking off for Coach Steve, and he's got a trusty sidekick now as well. You want to tell us a little bit about that and with what's going on as well?
Yeah, we're getting all our paperwork put in, but for spring soccer, it'll be myself taking on an assistant coach in front of the pod, Nikki Winks. And we will be coaching the U4 division. That is U4.
Quattro.
Quattro or quart or whatever it is in French. I don't know. This whole language is fucking nonsense to me.
Steve, can you please get these 4-year-olds to call Nick Coach Winks? Like, please make that
Coach
happen.
Winks, yes.
That would be phenomenal. I'd be very happy if that came to pass.
Yes, we'll be doing that. We'll be getting them saying mate, calling each other mate,
Very nice. Very
pressing
nice.
like it's nobody's business.
High and relentless. I like it. I like it.
Absolutely, high
How you doing? How you
energy.
doing? How you doing otherwise, Steve? What's going on?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Got a bunch of work-related nonsense that I'm trying to get through. It's a good time when your boss says, hey, we need you to do a lot more work, but we're also taking resources away. So good luck. It's like, well, all right. I don't know what you're expecting me to do, but unless you want to throw some more dinero my way, I
Sounds like
don't think you're getting much else.
sounds like a search for a new job o'clock.
I thought Mike was going to say, it sounds like time to form a union. I thought that was where he was going with
Dave,
that one,
I'm just not doing that anymore,
but
man.
just not doing that anymore. All
No,
right.
he's
Not.
yeah, he's it's fine.
You guys figure something out on your own,
But luckily for me, I do have other things in the pipeline potentially, thanks to our good friend Brian from Rhode Island hooking me up.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm telling you, listeners, no matter what career path you're in, no matter what you're doing, network like your life depends on it, because you never know when something's going to come up and you just happen to know somebody.
So you're saying Brian is good for more than an occasional
He,
hot take on Wicked Spursy.
I would say he's good for a lot more than just the
Nice.
occasional take, but Mike knows him best, so I guess he'd know better than I.
I want to ask Mike about something he knows about. Let's get back to corned beef.
Yeah, I'm a big corned
What does
beef
Brian from
guy.
Rhode
So,
Island know about corned beef?
what does Brian know about corned beef?
Brian's more Irish than the three of us put together.
Fair. Yeah.
Brian's 133% Irish. Nice.
That's mathematically impossible.
Not in my math.
Mike, corned beef, I've only had it done very well less than a handful of times in my life, and every other
Like
time I've
well
had
done
it,
or done well?
like properly
Okay.
tasty,
Executed.
right? Every other time I've had it, I've just been largely displeased and unhappy with it. So what's the deal? Like, paint the picture. What's the ideal corned beef to Mikey Opopovich?
Oh,
It's
Popovich.
very funny that my name is the my last name is the least Irish thing, that you could think of on the planet, but I am 70 something percent Irish.
What about Jablonski?
Definitely.
Sounds Brazilian to me, actually, Steve.
That's exactly right. So Steve's Brazilian with the Polish last name. A good corned beef, you got to have a little broth in the bottom of the bowl. You got to serve it in a bowl, right? It's got to have a little broth in the bowl. You got to have potatoes, and I don't care if you use red potatoes, you use whatever you want to use, but you got to have potatoes. And they got to be a decent size. They can't be mushy. Your vegetables, your carrots, and I've always been told that the proper vegetables are carrots, potatoes, turnip, and cabbage, of course. But your veggies have to have a little bit of a, like, what do they say, tooth, like a little bit of bite
There's
to
a
them.
bite to it, yeah.
Yeah. So you, like, it can't be mushy. And like that's the very base of it. I've learned that I now don't necessarily cook my vegetables in with the corned beef. So I don't boil the corned beef with the vegetables in there
Got it.
because the meat is so fatty. It kind of it's brisket, so it kind of imparts a lot of that fat, and the fat soaks into that into those veggies. You don't necessarily want that. It just turns them mushy and it's disgusting. And
Yeah, for sure.
now, Mr. 70% Irish, just a quick follow-up for you. Do you season it, or do you have it the traditional Irish way of just bland, tasteless mush?
So corned beef. I don't actually even know that corned beef and cabbage is actually an Irish thing. I think it's an Americanized version of the meal, but
interesting.
I didn't do much research
to season it.
So corned beef has to be seasoned. It's not,
this isn't England. We have to season things. I'm just taking pot shots at everybody now.
Yeah, you are. He's pissed off, and we'll get into that.
We'll get to the Welsh next.
But it has to be. My wife will never talk to you again.
I like whales. They're fine. Nothing wrong with them.
Blue whales, humpback whales.
But those Northern Irish.
Baleen whales.
So anyway, yeah. It's got to be. It has to be seasoned. I mean, that's corned beef. I mean, otherwise you're just boiling brisket.
All right, Mike, so let's stand on the corned beef tip.
A lot of salt.
Corned beef and cabbage, typical meal, typical St. Paddy's meal, or a Reuben sandwich. Which one do you pick?
Oh, boy. Okay, here's the deal. I do my corned beef in and around St. Paddy's Day. Mm-hmm. But if I go into any kind of a restaurant and I see a Reuben on the menu, I'm getting it.
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't like corned beef, but I
love a Reuben sandwich. You got to get a Reuben.
It's not just about
the corned beef, but the corned beef's got to be done right, you know.
And what's funny is I don't like rye bread. I don't like corned beef, but like you put all those together with the Thousand Island dressing on it. Yeah,
you do a Reuben or like a Jewish brisket, like a Jewish style brisket sandwich.
Are you allowed to say that? Should we get a Nicky Winks on? Make sure that we don't have to cancel you.
He's only half.
I'm 70% Irish. He's 50% Jewish.
Should we get 50% of Nicky Winks on?
So Mike's Irish offenses went out in this. I get how it works. Okay.
Yeah. So I went to a restaurant, had my meal. And it was pretty damn good. Like the turnip was cooked perfectly because turnip is really tough to cook. But you got to have a little broth in the bottom of the bowl, you know?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of turnip. There's a football club that didn't turn up this weekend.
You see, hey, Dave,
there's a dad joke already.
Just before you go any further, I was about to segue with speaking of things that are cooked.
There you go. Perfect. Maybe mushy and bland. We could do this all night.
Hey, shit. Before we get onto this topic here, I have a dad joke and I'm going to tell it right now since we're
here.
Yeah. So what's Irish and sits out on your back porch all summer long?
I don't know, Mike. What is Irish and sits on your back porch all summer long?
Patio furniture.
Oh, there it is. Well done. I like that. Should have thought of that, but that was good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Classic.
Cheers.
Speaking of that question, actually, Beth and I were having a little debate the other day. It wasn't much of a debate because I think my answer was correct, but she was asking me, is a wooden deck, and actually Mike, yours is a great example, the deck off the back of your house, when it's low to the ground, like just above the ground, is it considered a patio? Or to be a patio, does something have to be like concrete or stone ground and set in the ground?
No, I think it has to be ground level. So right, like mine is like two levels.
Yeah, and both are decks, right?
Both are decks. Yeah, it's a double deck, and then and then we're actually making a patio. We're going to build a patio this year. So
very nice.
New for the Wicked Spursy Barbecue is the stone patio.
Fantastic.
Make sure that we get over there, put our handprints in like it's the Hollywood stars.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we need.
Exactly. It's going to have a big WS right in the middle of it.
So
we're going to be like wild stallions.
Back to mushy vegetables that didn't turn up this weekend. Tottenham Hotspur. Where do we want to go? Steve, you want to get us started? What did you see and dislike about this past weekend?
You know, I thought a lot about it. And I think the thing that I dislike the most is I didn't really see anybody taking sort of responsibility on the field to change anything. It seemed to me, and Mike, you watched this a lot more recently, so maybe you can correct me if I'm thinking about this, you know, with too much distance. But the way I remember watching it at the pub with the guys, it just seemed like a lot of individuals, and some of them were trying harder than others, but none of them were trying to bring everybody together and be cohesive. I would say that the right hand side was a bit better. I think between Romero and Porro, not that they were particularly outstanding, and Kulusevski to a certain degree, but they had a little bit more cohesion. But outside of that corner of the field, everything else just sort of fell apart. You could see times where like Saar would try to, you know, put the thing on the back and force an issue, or you could see Sun trying to make a run and failing. But that's about it. Like I you would have expected, especially from Captain Sun, to try to rally people, to try to get the team playing together. I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. It just felt very isolated to me.
I have so my rewatch. Yeah. So I guess Romero was actually kind of just Romero was okay.
Yeah, not spectacular, but
he wasn't too terrible. I think Porro wasn't great. I think Kulusevski looked really, really slow. He seemed to be like just running the ball into the corners a lot and getting like directly and in, right into the fullback. And it, for his credit, and I know that this is gonna piss off a lot of our listeners overseas, but Anthony Robinson just completely fucking pocketed him. Mm-hmm. And statistically, Anthony Robinson is one of the top three fullbacks in the league. He's just very, very good. And he put that ball in for one of the goals.
He's super underrated.
And to he be is fair, super underrated. I'm quite sure you're going to hear a couple other podcasts from probably dig him out a little bit, but
yeah, unfairly. But unfairly, to Kulusevski's credit, I do think he improved when he slid more centrally.
Right, and I think that's
much more dangerous.
I think we don't necessarily have to get into everything that happened in the game because the game was overall, I think, crap. Very poor. I think it was very a very poor game to watch. What you can take from it is you know, as a fan, as a viewer, is that this is not the type of football or soccer that we've come to expect out of this team. We have been sold the idea that this shit's gonna happen, right? We kind of expected it to happen in the beginning of the season. It's happening now. Okay, so we had that run of what, eight games, 10 games where we were kind of outstanding. So that's kind of stellar, right? And it's been, a lot of it is due to the fact that I don't believe in new manager bounce. I think that's fucking bullshit. I think it's due to the fact that the teams didn't know how to play against it. We had guys that were fully fit. We had guys that had clicked and gotten together and gotten used to each other over the preseason. And then, so had that, all that shit that we were sold happened, you know, you're going to have a run of games where nothing is working and you're getting scored on at will and blah, 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 and everything's going to be bad. And then all of a sudden something's going to click. You're going to have a run of great games. Then you're going to have a few games here and there where it's just like inexplicably you lose inexplicably. And then by the second, third year, you guys are going to be fantastic. Right. So we got that mindset going. We're going to be unreal, right? We're just going to be unreal, but it's going to click later on. We're going to lose games up front. We didn't. So what happened is like everybody got used to winning. We did the little could we thing, right? And now people are fucking, you're hearing Ange out. We're hearing, you know, people jumping off the fucking ship because you lose to Fulham. Yeah, it sucks to lose to Fulham. You got to beat these types of teams. You have to beat these teams. But we're in the middle of this rebuild. Right, this is not the final product. A lot of these guys aren't going to be around, right, when the final product happens. We're going to bring in players that are unexpected, that are underrated, that are flying under the radar. We're going to bring in some pretty big names over the summer. But you know, Ange told us it's going to take at least three windows, and he hasn't had three windows yet. I'm not really worried about it. just this it was just not a this was a shit product. And it's, and for my last 2 cents, I don't think it's that Ange has been found out.
No, it's I would agree. It's not that he's been found out. It's
I think Fulham was well prepared. Yeah, they didn't show up. Fulham was well prepared. Our players didn't show up. Son was disappeared again. When he was trying to receive the ball or did receive the ball, he was not active off the ball. His work rate sucked the entire game. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things for fans to get pissed off about because these players just didn't show up and they didn't work to do what they needed to do. I honestly thought Werner was decent when he came on. I mean, except for that, you know,
miss.
He was outside anyway. Let's just put it that way. But you know, Brennan Johnson, I think he was okay.
No, he's due for another benching. He's one of those guys that he's going to have a streak and then you got to sit him. And
you have streaky again. Guys on this team. I know. Sar was outmatched in the midfield. He looked like he was lost half the time. You know, the chaos that he usually creates just, it didn't come off in this match because let's face it, Fulham was just very, very organized. They were just very organized and they stuck to the game plan and they didn't fall out of it. What did we talk about last week? You know, first half last week for Villa, pretty good. They kept us, you know, they kept us under wraps a little bit, didn't let us score, you know, kept us under wraps and everything was okay for Villa. And then they went back to this thing where they just opened up and allowed us to play our game. Teams are not going to allow us to play our game.
Well, the difference though was the goal as well, right? Like when we score goals, it makes a difference. Yeah.
When
you're blanked, it doesn't change the dynamics of the game. I'm gonna go back to the dad comments. I'm not mad. I'm just super disappointed, right? Like, you know, any team at any level in any sport is going to have a stinker of a day on occasion. That happens. It's normal. It's life. But I think, Steve, you led off with saying like they were just wandering around aimlessly though. Like nobody was even showing that they were pissed off. Nobody was even trying to like rally the team together. And that's the part that is really hard to connect with. Like hey, are we athletes, professional athletes? Absolutely not. But you put yourself out there, you'd be like, man, I feel like I'd at least be trying to do something to change the nature of this. And there was nothing happening there. And it's funny, while I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, like, what happened? Like what happened in the training room this week? What happened in the club this week? Like was there another like Jan Vertonghen's wife, you know, affair type of thing? Like back in the day, you know, is there like some crazy in-house drama that just had everybody pissed off at each other to have them not even like be there for each other in the game? That was really frustrating and disappointing. My hope is a couple weeks off will help. My hope is none of the guys that go away get injured, as is always the damn
it's going to happen.
Right?
Somebody's going to happen. Hurt.
Yeah. And I continue, and I think you guys are on the same page. I continue to support what Ange is doing and how he's doing it. You know, like his approach is it's the right approach and he's changing the culture of this whole thing. But part of that culture has to be that those stinkers that we saw on Saturday, those have to be fewer and further between. They can't pop up like they did.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
The only criticism I really have of Ange is how long it took for him to hook some of these guys and make some changes. Cause right. You know, we were watching this, you know, at the pub with Vermont Spurs, and man, like at halftime, we were identifying some of the players that needed to be hooked. You know, let's get Timo in for Johnson. Let's get Richarlison up front.
All of it exactly. I mean, I wasn't with you, but on the chat, we were calling all those subs, right? Like 30 minutes before they happened.
Yeah. That's the problem, though, right? It took 30 minutes. And by the time, I think when Fulham scored their third goal, was when a chunk of Vermont Spurs just kind of threw their hands up, like, we needed changes well before that, and now it doesn't really matter when they come because what are they going to do?
This is something that we can criticize Ange on, and and I have.
Rightly so, to be honest.
His subs. So his subs are his sub. You know, we'll say subbing game is erratic. It seems to be erratic. Like sometimes, like his subs are like spot fucking on, right?
But he didn't even realize they were going to be spot on.
And that's when we're playing well. And it's like, you're like, these are the subs that he puts out there. And you're like, oh, I never thought of that kind of that combination. Cause we're usually thinking like for like, and when he makes those subs that are really, really important to the match that are really just kind of spot on. Yeah. Right. That's fantastic. But when he doesn't do it, it seems like you can call out when he's going to do it, what he's going to do, and there usually are like for like subs. It's like he's throwing his hands up in the air going, I don't know what else to fucking do. We can call out Anja for his tactics. I do it with my NFL team. I do it with my goddamn baseball team all the time. It's like, why are you hooking the pitcher now? You know, when he's still got some gas left in the tank. It's just we're allowed to do that as fans. We can sit there and do the armchair quarterback thing. You know, we can do that. We can sit there. We're allowed to do that. We pay money to watch this club play. So as far as I'm concerned, we're allowed to do a little bit of that. And that's what we do on this podcast all the time. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in this manager. I wholeheartedly believe in this manager. I just think that sometimes he just doesn't get it, or he just throws up his hands and said, I don't know what else to fucking do. Hoiberg for Bissouma, you know, and fine. Like Hoiberg actually was not terrible either. Bissouma, I mean, we could talk about Bissouma too. I think that Ange has to be criticized by fans. I don't think that he needs to fucking go. I think people just are jumping off the boat before they actually know that the crew has got the leak under control.
Actually, I think if we're going to criticize something, the entire midfield.
Daniel Levy,
not at all. The entire midfield was hot garbage until they got subbed out. They were terrible. They couldn't pass to each other. They had no touch. They weren't making anything positive happen.
Sun's touches were awful. And they're getting worse. And they're getting worse. And Bissouma's passing. I'd love to talk about Bissouma. Steve, do you have any opinions on him?
my opinion is he probably should have been hooked in the first half at some point, but he was not good. And honestly, you know, if we make it back from international break with a healthy Bentancur, I would much rather Bentancur slot in like right away. I'll give Pap another shot because I do think that he's got a ton of talent and can really make some magic happen. But Bissouma has just been on a string of like average to below average performances. And when the entire team around you is struggling too, and it just exposes you that much more.
Yeah. Bad touch, unforced errors in bad situations, like just a lot of bad, a lot of bad.
What is, I just want to know, like, because he is prone to brilliance.
Yeah, but we haven't
first
seen
8 to 10 games he was so goddamn good, and then he loses his head for one game, gets a red card, you know, and falls apart. And then he comes back, you know, he comes back from that red card, he has kind of a shaky start, and then he's brilliant again, and then he's shit again. Like this guy, we know that he's prone to like streaks of brilliance and just like amazing play, and I really like when he's on, man, he is the best out there. I just don't know that our club can sustain a player like this being a starter. I know, like I said before, this isn't the final product, but if he can't be a solid player consistently, like, you know, on his day, he's the best in the league.
But he's not on enough. Is
really, you know who is on all the time? Guys like Rodri. Like, you know, and I get that he's not Rodri, and we're not getting anyone like Rodri on the team. But we need somebody that's comparable to that.
you want to see athletes that even when they're not having a great game, they're not hurting the team and they're still making something happen. And then
instead of, you know, hospital ball right in front of the box with nobody around.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Let's change gears a little bit. How you guys feel about that?
I feel pretty good. You know what, Dave? I'll do you one better. All right. When it comes to changing gears, that match was so awful to watch that I feel like I need a drink. And I know that there's somebody else who probably needs one too. But before I ask the question, there is one more thing that I do want to end on a positive, just so that we're not a bunch of Debbie Downers.
Let's do it.
For as much as I criticized Ange's substitutions and some of the tactics and, you know, I believe rightfully so, I have got to give him a lot of credit for not jumping at the media response to, well, what about fourth place? You know, some people will say, oh, he's lost the plot. You know, he's already, you know, losing his shit, or, you know, whatever it is that people online say when, you know, a losing manager gives a reasonable answer to a question.
As opposed to Jurgen Klopp over the weekend, right?
Yeah, throwing a hissy fit. But I really appreciate it. I was like, look, you know what? I'm not here to look at, you know, we've done fourth place before. It's happened. That's nothing new. I'm here to play football, and this is what we're going to focus on. The results will come. But, you know, he was disappointed. He said that he was disappointed. And in the past, you know, I think back to the Chelsea game when we lost, but there was still some pride there. There was no pride. There was disappointment. And I'm sure we will see, you know, a completely different game when we come back from the international break. But credit to him for not getting caught up and not throwing a tantrum and whining about, oh, well, you know, maybe if the referees gave us a call, or, you know, whatever it is that fucking Arteta or Klopp or whoever the fuck else does. It's really nice to have somebody with a level head, except that, you know what, that game sucks. We were not good, but, you know, I'm here to focus on one thing and one thing only, changing the culture of this football club. And that's what I'm going to do.
He doesn't fall for that shit. He does not fall for it. And
total command. It's a good thing to see.
Yeah, the media should stop trying to bait it too, but, you know, no,
they're not going to stop, Stevie.
They're not going to stop. I mean, they still think that Kate Middleton is missing.
Well, hey, I mean, look,
there's a lot of I'm not missing there. Her, so I don't know.
My Twitter feed says she's out there somewhere.
I want to believe.
I see what you guys did there. Little X-Files.
Anyway, drink. Dave, do you have a drink?
I do. I'm enjoying Athletic Brewing IPA. It's not bad stuff, man.
It's not terrible. I enjoy the Pilsner a little better, but
yeah. You can't see it, but this is a
Steve's got a beard that's got a white label.
Ooh, yeah. That's like
Honey, I Shrunk the Pills.
There you go. Very nice.
I enjoy it, but you know, that's me and you. But there's somebody else.
I'd love to ask a question. Can I ask it, Steve?
Dave, I would love for you to ask this question.
Mike, I am wondering, as is Steve, as are all of our listeners out there who love when you do this. What you drinking?
And, you know what? We talked recently about maybe it's Hey Mike has come to an end.
Uh-oh. Maybe it's Maybelline.
You know what though? You know what? You know what's happened?
You're saying not tonight?
Not tonight, motherfucker. Babe Ruth just signed for the Boston Braves. And he's about to hit 3 home runs. Because we talked a couple years ago, maybe last year, about how Steve sometimes, you know, his generation likes to go into their little boxes when things get tough.
Steve, I feel like Mike has been working on this monologue for like a day or so. Are you getting that same feeling?
It's fine. I'm in my safe space. We're good.
Yes, exactly. Which is why when Tottenham Hotspur play a game like this and are quote unquote, and I'm going to do the air quotes for the people on TV, Spursy. You might need a double safe space.
Oh my gosh.
Good Lord.
So we did safe space a year or so ago, right?
That is the most unicorny, rainbowy
which is this one
I've ever seen. Yeah.
Which is this one. This is safe space.
Yeah. But no, the one you just brought out is a whole different level to that. It's
this unicorn. So this unicorn looks like it's done a bunch of coke.
You know, yeah, that unicorn's on crack. This, no question.
This is a reference that might
That's
go
an
over
unsafe
your,
unicorn.
This might go over your heads, but I'm reminded of an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants where they try to send
like
him
iCarly
to
or something like that.
They point out, oh, you need to go there to Weenie Hut Jr. And he's like, what? It's like, oh, no, I'm at the place next to it. And it's a mega Weenie Hut Jr.
So what they've done here with this, this is the fifth anniversary, apparently, of so they did a double version of the of their kind of flagship safe space safe beer. So this says it's a double safe space is a bigger, bolder sibling of our classic safe space and New England IPA. All the haze and juicy goodness you're used to with safe space just amplified. Bigger, bolder flavors punched up with the addition of galaxy hops to the already tropical citrus combo of Citra and Vic Secret. I really like galaxy hops. Galaxy hops, kind of, you see them more in a lot of the quote unquote Vermont IPAs and New England IPAs that other states make that are outside of New England, right? But you know, it's just that there's something about the way that they brew beers in those other states that just don't hold up. I'm kind of excited about this, mostly because I saw this in the cooler at Concord Craft Brewing, and I thought, like, this is an acid trip in the middle of having an acid trip.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the label. Looking at this label.
It's all right, so what are we looking at here? Show me the glass.
Oh, the glass is thick.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a nice color. Yeah. It looks really
it's bronze.
Nice. Orange juice, man.
It's bronze.
Like old orange juice.
That's a good thing in the
beer world. Yes.
In the beer universe.
The Bruniverse.
The Bruniverse. All right. I'm just gonna go right for it, guys.
Drink it. With your mouth, not your nose. It's a pleasant. It's not an unpleasant look.
That is boozy.
Boozy.
That comes in at 8.7. Okay.
Let's
see. Yeah, so it's wicked boozy. It doesn't taste anything like its sibling.
How safe do you feel?
So I feel doubly safe. I might actually crawl into a safe space when I finish this, actually. It's really, really good. It's got the Galaxy hops does dumb down a lot of that. Because the Galaxy have like it's sometimes very piney, a piney quality to it. And it really did kind of dumb down a lot of that big citrusy that notes that come out of that safe space beer. I really actually like this. Amy would like this, in fact.
Ooh.
Well, Amy
so
likes
it's a chick beer, is what you're saying.
It's not a chick beer because Amy likes her IPAs less citrusy and less fruity. She's big into hops that kind of tell a story versus like hops that you know like are gonna pop you with citrus, and I'm not buying into your shit right now, Steve. That are just gonna pop, like they're gonna hit you with a lot of citrus, and you know your heady toppers, your focal bangers, like big fruit hop bombs, right? She likes those hops that kind of just give that bit of bitterness and she likes the piney hops, and it's just it's
so this different... one would make her hoppy.
She likes the it would make her hoppy. She likes the West Coast IPAs too. So we both like different kinds of IPAs. I'm gonna give this one.
Oh, moment of truth.
Here it comes.
How tuned in are we?
4.1.
God damn it.
Go ahead, Steve. Tell them the scores we gave.
3.9, 4.0.
You guys are dialed right in.
Damn, man. Damn. Well,
I'm going to start including a margin for error on mine.
That's true. Plus or minus two, right?
Plus or minus two. You can't, you know, there's no, is there a margin of error?
You can, no, you can't, can't have a margin. Not on this type of a scale. Impossible.
I'll make it right? Possible.
But maybe we can score on a curve.
From anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is
possible. Yeah.
Was that Garnett?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also from a Lonely Island song where they reference Garnett.
It's true. That's true.
Okay.
I think, was that I'm on a boat? Is that one?
Yes, that is I'm on a boat.
That's a fantastic song.
Featuring T-Pain. Who is, by the way, a much better singer than he's a good musician. Is credit for?
Yeah, he's got like that live little act he does, right? It's pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
good. Dude, I always thought he was just like that auto-tune guy who shows up on, you know, certain songs, but like I heard his live album recently, and he is good, like actually good.
Absolutely,
I was impressed.
Mike, have we given you time to think of a song? We've been trying to like buy you a little bit of time here.
Oh
To do the double unicorn.
Let me do another one.
Zippity doo-dah.
We even threw you some hints. You know, you go Lonely Island, you can go T-Pain, you can go
Anything is possible.
You can go your own way.
The boat engine makes noise, mother.
You know what? I'm on a boat.
It's a fantastic song.
I'm, you know what? Let's go. I like Gone Daddy Gone for the Violent Femmes.
Ooh, that's a good one. Man,
I haven't heard them in a while. That's a
this beer makes me feel sunny, you know, and kind of happy. And it's just like one of those, like, it's got that xylophone in it, that song. And again, it just kind of like, you know, but kind of makes you bop. I feel like I'm bopping right now.
My cousin.
Maybe that's the 8.7. I don't know.
I remember this was like 15 years ago when my cousin was about 3 years old.
Steve was an embryo.
I remember being in the car with my uncle and her, and he was playing that song, and she was sitting there rocking out to it at like 3 years old. And it's like, yeah, everything's going to be all right.
Yeah. But you know, the thing about that song is it's a happy song. It's got shitty lyrics. Like you're like sad lyrics, you know, gone, daddy gone. The love is gone.
You're just making me think they're like Blister in the Sun when you hear those like opening notes of that. Like that's just, that just gets, it flips a switch in your brain. Like, oh, this is going to be good. You know, that's
I think of I mean,
point any guy in the 90s who had an acoustic guitar. That's like one of the first ones you learn how to play is Blister in the Sun, right?
Good stuff.
These days it's Wonderwall.
Dude,
these days,
don't you shit on Oasis ever. I will come to your house.
Not shitting on him. It's just, you know, back when I was in college, if you ever had some guy with an acoustic guitar and he breaks it out, it's always Wonderwall he's going with.
No Dave Matthews? Come on.
Nah, but then again, I went to school in Burlington, so, you know, what are you going to do?
You know. Indeed, one of our guests that's coming up is a big fan of Oasis.
We have a guest coming up. People still want to come on the show.
Yeah, apparently, you know, and it's not about the number of viewers we get. It's not about our fan base.
I would hope not.
You know what? You know what it's about. We're good dudes.
Try to be.
I think we're good dudes.
At least two-thirds of us.
Are you referencing Ricky? Is that who you're thinking of, or who's the big Oasis?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call him my pal.
Yeah,
Brian from Rhode Island.
Good dude.
Brian from Rhode Island. Brian from Rhode Island's got an open invite. Nikki Winks, you'll invite him on and he'll not text you back for like six to eight weeks. He's like, oh, sorry, guys. I was
teaching a class.
Like, hey, guys, when am I coming on?
I was, and then he's like, oh, if you guys ever invite me on again.
Then don't you love it when he like drops a take on the chat? That's something that we've exhaustively discussed on the pod, and clearly
been, hasn't been. Clearly hasn't been listening.
Bingo.
So that was Hey Mike.
Yeah, that was. This has been Hey Mike. What you drinking? Well done, Mike.
Enjoy 4.1, that. 4.1 Concord Craft Brewing.
Enjoy double, your double, double your double thing. Rainbow unicorn orange juice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna post a picture of the two unicorns because one is right. Definitely like
so. Dave, here's a question for you.
Okay.
If it looks like orange juice and it has a high alcohol content, is it a mimosa? Mimosa. I was going to go with screwdriver, but
mimosas are for children and Christmas.
What's that on the Office when Michael thinks he's invented the screwdriver, but he calls it something else? He's like a vodka orange-ish or something like that. That's good stuff.
I know what you're talking about. That's classic.
Hey, let's talk for a minute about some Vermont-based stuff going on. So this week, you got a soccer game that's important this week, and then actually later in the week, there's a basketball game that's important. Anybody want to run with either of those?
Let's talk soccer. That's coming right
up. Let's talk soccer because that's the most important thing in our lives.
So this one is actually kind of exciting
after our families, of course, you know, like.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, mine's coming to me with the game. It's wild, though, to think about. Like, I just can't get over the fact that mid-March in fucking 30 degree weather, we are going to be watching a soccer game for a legitimate U.S. competition.
Legitimate, an actual legitimate competition.
Yeah.
U.S. There's a real trophy involved.
Yeah. Like actual teams typically played in it if, you know, half the MLS didn't decide that they were too good for it now.
Fucking fuckers. Douchebags.
But yeah, Vermont Green is hosting a USL 1 club in, from Kentucky, Lexington SC. Go Green.
Go Green. So fun little up the fucking green is what we say, UTFG. So fun little thing that connects right to this podcast is that they have a player on their club. Steve, name?
His name is Cameron Lancaster.
Cameron Lancaster, right. So he was in the Tottenham Hotspur Youth Academy. He came up through with guys like Harry Kane, Ryan Mason, Adebayor, and he was apparently through some conversations with a young man, a handsome young man who used to do a Tottenham Youth Report for the Fighting Cock and then moved on to his own thing. Tiny, tiny, tiny little podcast called The Extra Inch. I talked to Wendy about him. Wendy did say that, yes, he remembered him. He also did say that he wasn't necessarily the best player. He did have a quote-unquote cap for his – he had an appearance for Tottenham Hotspur.
One appearance.
It was like for 7 minutes, and he spelled Adebayor. So
it's Wendy, funny because I
Wendy did say that he was promising, but he had an injury that kind of derailed things, but he was not necessarily the best player, which makes sense that now he's now in a USL 1 competition at 31 years old. Yeah,
it's so, funny because I actually do remember.
He is their center forward. He's their star player on that team.
I remember playing FIFA back in the day, and it was like you had him and you had Harry Kane as your youth options. And it's like, well, which one am I going to go with? You know, at that point, nobody knew who the fuck Harry Kane was. So it was a toss up. And, you know, one of their careers really skyrocketed, and the other one ended up in, you know,
it's going to really, really suck when he gets pocketed, when he gets stuck in Musa Ndiaye's pocket the entire fucking game.
Hey, Mike, I got two questions for you on the game. One, is there a stream at all for it?
There will be a stream. So the stream's being handled by, unfortunately, by the U.S. Soccer Federation. So Well, I'm not worried
about
that.
Bunch of greeting hacks.
Wait till you see the tifos that we've been making.
And second question
for the MLS.
So I mean, I know that you've got some nice inside knowledge with the club. So just given the timing, right? Like Green are a summer league college based team. So all these kids are still in school for the most part.
Right,
so
right.
What is their ability to practice and get together as a club prior to this?
A lot of them came in Thursday, Friday. Guys like we have a lot of returning players, guys like Dylan Lane, Musa Ndai, are here.
Bazzini,
the guys who played for Vermont, Pacella, mm-hmm. Bazzini are here. Nathan Messer has just been signed by Rhode Island FC, so he will not be back. That was a hope for us. Stellar midfielder. He got signed by Rhode Island FC last week and already featured on the bench. And so he's one of these guys who's going to be playing for a championship team. I will say that we're going to have a banger of a fucking club out there, man. We got some dogs out there. And I think that Vermont Green is going to compete. So they came in Thursday, Friday, right? A lot of these guys are returning players. We have some new players that are coming in. My inside knowledge is the fact that I am friends with the owners of the club, the founders, we call them. And they let us know little things as they're coming out. It's not like I have like months and months advance notice. I didn't know any of these players until like a week ago. So I think we got a really good chance at winning this game. Nice. Lex SC has been picked to finish first or second in the USL one competition, which is one step below championship. And so far their two games, they have not performed up to what they've been predicted. They have had an entire preseason. We have had 3 days. Actually, there was on Saturday, there was a call out to anybody in the Boston area to go pick up a couple players at at the airport to bring them so they could come train. They've been training twice a day. In fact, they're out there right now on Virtue Field training for tomorrow. So they're probably doing their final walkthroughs and that kind of stuff. Coach Pfeiffer has been appointed sporting director of the club. So they now have a sporting director. He knows the ins and outs of that. The thing with the college players, we couldn't get back everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of unfortunate, but we couldn't get everybody back right now. The players that are going to be playing for us in the spring and summer, a lot of them can't come because their colleges won't let them out of their commitments. The NCAA didn't like it. But
greedy ass bastards.
We're one of the only USL 2 teams in the competition that has college players on their roster for this cup run. Because a lot of them didn't know that they were allowed to use their college players.
Interesting.
So Seaboats United and Western Mass, I think they were out at last minute trying to recruit players to play like locally. So I think he's at Vermont Green.
Put a sandwich board on the corner.
Yeah, like guys, teams like Ballard who are in it every year, like they will have a good shot. Western Mass is the only team who's ever come in and won a first round from the USL 2.
Interesting.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Lexington they're a new club in USL 1. They're going to come in with a lot of older players, guys who are and some of them are, you know, younger players as well, but they have guys that are in their late 20s, early 30s going up against a lot of college kids, you know. But I think we have a really, really good shot at beating them.
We certainly have the voice coming. I believe they said it was close to sold out, or maybe it already is.
It might be sold out by now. I can tell you that the Green Mountain Boys, we stole our supporters group name from Celtic. So we're the Bahoys. we have our section roped off. We're gonna be out there at 4 o'clock tomorrow hanging our flags. We have smoke, we have megaphones, we have drums, and we have a lot of the Montreal Impact supporters coming down as well. So.
The collectif
is coming down. Yeah. So
it's going to be
a wonderful experience at Virtue Field, and I'm so excited. As you can probably tell, I'm running off the mouth. I just can't hide it.
You're about to lose control.
And I think I like it. Top it all off, my son will be an escort for the players tomorrow.
Mascot. We call it mascots.
Yeah, yeah. Escort sounds a little shady.
Escorting the players onto the field.
Weird, Mike. Weird.
And the second he comes off of the field, he's going to go with his friends and not watch the game, while Lily and I are front row, front and center.
Well, yeah, somebody has got to do it. You know what? I'll tell you what. My son,
Steve, come to me if you need to get into our section.
Absolutely. My son is very excited. You know what he's been telling me all evening here?
Dad, I'm going to dye my hair green.
Tomorrow, we're going to go to the soccer game, and I'm going to get ice cream.
Yes, he is.
Those are two good things.
30 degrees, and he's getting ice cream. 30 degrees Ben and Jerry's. And mixed precipitation. He's getting Ben and Jerry's.
Whatever. You know, he'll be fucking bundled up. He'll look like a goddamn, you know, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, just puffed out there.
You know what? You know, I'm going to tell you, like, half of the audience by now has tuned out. But I don't really care, because this is. You know, if anybody wants to learn about Vermont Green Soccer Club, I think that most of our audience comes from the land of the extra inch, comes from the land of fighting cock.
Come from the land down under.
Those are the people that I think that they would completely, those fans would completely buy into the mission and the vision of the club. So look into us. Yeah, it is grassroots soccer. It's wonderful. It's beautiful.
It's fascinating. Plus, what the fuck else are you going to watch? I mean, we got international. Yeah.
What time is that match?
Who cares about that?
What time is tomorrow? I just want to.
So 7 p.m. I will be there at 4:30.
Right. You're going to be cold and ready, but hey, that's all good.
I'll be drinking.
I'll let you guys know how the stream looks from a consumer standpoint. Just
Take it out with the U.S. Soccer Federation if it's crap.
There you go.
I'm going to put it on the Wicked Spursy Instagram, and I'll put it on, and I'll send it out to the rest of the folks who can't make it.
All right, very good, very good, boys. I think we should probably start thinking about our closing thoughts. What do we have on our minds as we're going into a international break? Mike's finishing off his beer. Feeling good in his safe space squared. All good. Steve, what do you got for closing thoughts, buddy?
I'm kind of annoyed that of all the games for us to lose that way, it's one right before an international break. Just because I feel like the players have the ability to distance themselves a bit from the results and a bit from expectations and focus just on their, you know, their country, their international commitments. And I would have much rather all of them have spent that time under Ange's boot as he makes sure that
Jesus.
Yeah, no, well, I like this, Steve.
Okay,
I like
go ahead.
I want them.
You're a hardliner.
I want them to never
like
do
stew
that again.
Stewing their juices, right, Steve? Stewing their juices
just
a little bit.
Constant reminders, like
corned,
you know,
beef.
I have no problem with them if they, you know, show up and it's a little bit okay, well, you know, first half wasn't great, but you bounce back and you really never give up, never surrender, fucking Galaxy Quest up here. But this team gave up, and I don't really like that so many of them can just put it in the rear view for a while. I would totally true,
Steve. I love James Madison, but the last thing I want to see is him joking around in England camp. You know what I mean? Like I want to see him focused and getting down to business. So yeah,
well some too. Like, you know, he's gonna go to South Korea and it's like, oh, everybody loves Sun. Like, look at him, he's great. But that's another one who I would have loved to have had Ange just tell him, look, you know what? You are captain. You need to help rally the troops, get them going, pressing towards the same goal. And if they're not doing that, find a way to make it happen.
Yeah, I like it. Well done, man. Well done. Hopefully, Mike, how about you? Oh, sorry, Steve, back to you.
Just real quick, last thought is just hopefully whoever's stuck behind shows Ange that, hey, you know what? Those guys couldn't perform, but look at what I can do. Maybe it helps us for the first game.
Maybe your boy Donnelly finally gets that chance you've been calling for a couple months now, right? How about you, Mike? Closing thoughts.
So my closing thoughts are these. Watching the game this week, we need a window, and we need a couple. I think we still need two windows. Ange might have said three, but we need two more additional. So four. We need a couple of fullbacks. Because Emerson and whomever is going to back up Destiny is not gonna cut it, right? I think that Ben Davis probably would have been the shout in this game over Dragusin. Let's not dig this guy out yet. He's had one fucking start. You know, give him 10, 15 starts, and then we'll. We'll see what he brings. He's not Mickey, and that's what people are pissed about. But we need some players. We need a couple of wingers. We need to move Kulusevski to the middle where he's more comfortable, to be in rotation with Sarr, depending on tactics for the day. Kulusevski is I think he really is a generational talent, and he's a good person, and is someone that we need on this club to pump this team up. We need a lot of players brought in to make this club whole. And I think it's going to take some time. I'm going to make a shout for Anthony Robinson. He wants to move to a big club. I will 100% have him on this club as a backup to Udogie. I think Anthony Robinson is a better passer than Udogie is. He's not as good as at the one-on-one defending, but I will make a shout for him. And fuck it. Let's make a shout for Mbappe. Just go fucking spend some money. And that's my final thought.
Yeah, close on that one. That's good. Well done, boys. Good pod tonight.
It was fun. I had a fun time.
We made an enjoyable time out of a crappy game watching experience, so all good.
We always make it enjoyable, don't we?
This is true. Very, very true.
Yeah, we always smile at the end of it.
All right, Jen. So Steve, as we walk away, what would you remind our loyal, loving listeners of?
Squeeze.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing.
Don't be an asshole.
Thank you, Steve. Well done as always. And Mike, how about you?
You know, guys, the weather's coming around, it's springtime. Getting out, doing a lot of stuff, you know, just be safe out there.
And
Tottenham Hotspur action. It's Ange-tastic. Up the fucking green.
Yes.